This is the Horse Radio Network.
I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Alice Perryman from Pomela, Texas. And you are listening to a special trail riding edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 17th, 2017, episode number 1763, brought to you by the NATRC and Distance Depot. Good morning, Horse World.
Thursday. I'm so happy it's Thursday.
Just an ordinary day.
If you love to ride horses, but you'd rather ride on a trail than in an arena, I think I know a sport just for you.
We're out. We're getting to the first mark. We're a little ahead of time.
Expect nothing less than full-blown chaos.
Welcome back, Alice. You're here the third Thursday of every month. How you doing?
I'm okay. Well, better than I was 10 days ago.
But not quite as good as you were 12 days ago.
Right. Not quite as good as I was 12 days
ago. Well, before we get too much further in, I want to let everybody know what's coming up on today's show, because we've got a jam-packed show. We're going to be speaking with Shannon Schroffnagel, and she's going to chat about a new magazine just for trail riders by trail riders. And then Erin Glassman is going to stop by, and she's going to tell us about her first 100-mile endurance ride. And she just happened to choose the Tevis Cup to do that. Ha ha. Can you say badass? And then Kristen Lacey is going to stop by and have a preview of the Carrots Fall line, plus an interesting story about safety gear as well. So we're going to continue that safety theme. Okay, explain.
Well, so we have too many horses at our house. We just do. I mean, you folks that have like one or two horses and you're satisfied with that, I so envy you. But I always said I wanted to live somewhere where I could have all the horses I wanted, and now I do. But I had one, had past tense, he's gone back to live with his rescue buddies. That was a little Pasofino, and I've had him since last October. And it turns out he just wasn't a good match. He has some problems with being barn sour, and he'd been getting better. I mean, like, I've taken him to some clinics. He does great at clinics. He does great in the ring. He does great when I take him away to trail ride. But here at home, when I want to ride on the farm, he has a rearing fit every time you ask him to go away from home.
Oh,
well, he was actually... No. He was doing great, though. I had changed up some gear, and he was backing up, but he wasn't rearing. And I rode him down the road and by the tank and by the road and up down another road. And we came back around to where you had a choice about whether you were going to go left and go home or whether we were going to go right and keep going. And he and I had a difference of opinion about what was going to happen. And he reared once, but it was a little rear. It was okay. I was using all my methods to calm him back down and get him to relax. Well, then he shook his head and he shook off his bridle. So we're going to back up here and talk about all of the safety things that I didn't do right. So, you know, if you don't have a throat latch on your bridle, you should always, always, always hook it onto your halter. And I didn't. It had a place to, but I didn't. And I didn't have, he wasn't wearing a halter. I mean, I always, always trail rider always leaves my halter on my horse, but I'm just riding around 300 acres where I live.
You were tempting fate, young lady.
Yeah. Oh, but I always wear my helmet, and I was wearing my helmet.
Yay. So that's why we're talking to you today. Helmet. That's why we're not putting this up a best of.
Well, no, I didn't hit my head. But yeah, I could have, and where I fell off, there were a lot of big chunky rocks. So yeah, I mean, it could have, but he shook off his bridle, and it was around his neck, and except for the words that I can't say, because this is a family podcast, I was actually okay. I mean, like, I was, oh, okay. Well, I can do this. I'll just get the bridle gathered up and I'll steer him like it's a neck rope. You sure. know, no problem.
No problem.
I'm thinking this in my head as he's galloping.
No.
but I'm still thinking, I'm okay, I can do this. And I get it all organized. And there's a spot where he could have gone right to go up the road to run home. Logical choice, of course. Or left by the deer feeder where all the chunky rocks were. He chose the chunky rocks.
And really?
I would have been okay still, but he started bucking because the bridle, he spooks whenever things hit his side of his neck. I've never gotten him completely desensitized. Like if I have a tail on my reins for holding, like when he goes to drink, mm-hmm. I had to take that off my reins because it flaps his neck and it makes him crazy.
Wow.
And so my guess is that just having the bridle flapping on his neck,
probably,
you know, he was being naughty.
Yeah.
He's really smart and he's really very sweet. And I think trainers will say that the horses don't know they were naughty. I feel like he knew he was naughty.
He probably assumed he was going to get punished. Yes.
Yes. That's what I think.
He's gone through that behavior before in his past.
Yes.
And he got punished for it and it stuck with him. I can see how his brain was working right now. And yeah. And, and this is where you parted company.
Right. And so I fell off. But you know what? That little stinker didn't run away. He had wanted to get home so bad when I was on his back. But he just stood there with the bridle and the reins around his neck. And he just stood there the whole time while I moaned and groaned. And you know, I didn't yell at him. I had a friend with me. And I was just like, she's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'll be okay in a minute. And you know, I was bruised, but I didn't jump up, you know, it probably took me 5 minutes, but I was okay. And he stood right there and let me put the bridle back on. And, but I knew I couldn't get back on him because he doesn't stand for mounting real well. And Pasifinos in general have not been taught to stand next to things for mounting. We've discovered my friend Teresa, who was the one who gave me the love for this breed. And we think it's because there's so little, people just don't mount them from things.
That's a good point.
But when they did a trail class at one of the Texas Pasifino shows, the biggest obstacle problem, the one where most of the pasos lost points, where they had to dismount and remount using a mounting block, and so many of the horses wouldn't go anywhere near the mounting block.
Well, yeah, when your horse is 13 3¾, I can see that. Yeah, that's very interesting. There was a gap there. Yeah,
there's a gap there, and he would get on. He actually mounts better from the offside, and I would get him up on the I would get him next to, like, I have an old flatbed we use sometimes, and he'd be good with that, but he wouldn't come stand next to a rock, or you know, he just wouldn't. And my girlfriend tried to get on him too, and I think he was just so frazzled. So we ended up walking the horses home, and you know, what else were we going to do? Cause I actually wasn't worried. I wasn't afraid mentally. I was nervous that being injured, I wouldn't be able to control him and then something else bad would happen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But then the rescue that had sent him to me opted to, send him to a professional, and he is with a really good trainer in the Houston area named Keith Andries. And I've seen Keith fix a lot of problems with Pasifinos, and I have no doubt that that's the best thing for the horse. I miss him, but at the same time, there's 8 others out there. So,
well, you know, you have to be smart. It's just because you love him and want to hug him doesn't mean he's a good match as a riding horse.
Exactly. And that's what my girlfriend, she's like, I just don't think, and my husband was a much better match for him anyway, because Mike has less years of riding experience, but he just never gets frazzled. And I do.
See, you know yourself well. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Stuff starts to go wrong. And it's like, first I say, oi. First it's oi. Only my friends say it's not just oi. Like, I think I'm being all tough and oi. And they're like, no, it's more like oi. Oi, oi. And then I start saying things that I can't repeat.
No, we don't want to say those things. No. But before we get to Shannon, I think we have some raffle tickets that we need to talk about.
Yes. One of our other NATRC sponsors is Riding Warehouse, and they have generously donated us $1,000 worth of gift cards for next year. We did this last year too. And so we are selling raffle tickets for the gift cards. There will be 3 given away. One is for $200, One is for $300 and one is for $500. And they are for anyone that loves horses or loves horse people. And so they're good for anyone. So, and they are going to be sold by the NATRC. You can pay by check. If someone wanted to contact me, I could, you know, hook them up with some raffle tickets and mail them out, or they can go to the natrc.org website. And there is a place on the webpage for buying raffle tickets, and you can purchase them using PayPal from there.
How cool and there's is only, that?
And there's only like 1,000 printed. So, I mean, it's not like there are a gazillion. It's not like the lottery. I mean, you actually have a reasonable chance of winning one of these tickets. I mean, 3 out of 1,000 is not a bad.
I have a better chance of winning one of these gift certificates than I do of finishing Tevis.
Me too, probably. So, I don't know. Again, I've been inspired to think about furthering my distance career. I mean, I've been a real slacker this year. I gave Liberty pretty much the whole year off, and I don't know. I've decided to devote myself to getting back into shape.
There we go. And if you get off at that rocky section and walk back to the barn every time you ride, there you go.
Right?
Yeah. Well, speaking of getting back into shape and getting back out and doing some competitions in 2017 and 18, what's this I hear about a new horse trailer?
Yes. We didn't have the last one very long, but one of my friends was very interested in it. They had never had their own horse trailer other than, like, her husband's a rancher, and so they use the ranch trailer, but it's, you know, big old open gooseneck.
Now, wait, so we'll stop there.
Okay.
This trailer that you just sold before, yes, I got the new one, is that the one that you redid the living quarters in, or is this a different one?
We never did it. We never did it. This one came up for sale.
Busted.
And it was exactly what we were going to do with the new one, with our old one, but it was 2 feet bigger and 2 feet wider. And so, my good friend Teresa, who's been on the show before, her husband is slightly handicapped, and they wanted to do more camping together, and her trailer wasn't good for him getting in and out of the gooseneck. So she bought a new trailer that had a slide out and a better couch and a better steps up to the gooseneck and just more handicapped accessible for her husband. And so she said, you need to buy my trailer from me. You'd be stupid not to buy this trailer. And I was like, I think you're right. So we bought her trailer instead of redoing ours.
Well, so, I can't very well argue with that if you can do it, man.
So we did. So we bought, it's a CM, and she redid it. Now she built it. It was just a shell with some insulation and air conditioning. And she had a sink put in it with a cabinet, and it has a microwave, and it has a walk-through door to the back. It's got a cowboy shower, which we figured we would like to be able to take a shower, but didn't really want to take up the real estate, you know, in a smaller trailer with a shower, because I mean, in the other shower, in my old trailer, we had a shower and we would have rather had more seating. So it was just, you know, you can't have people in because, oh, look, there's a shower here. You can sit in the shower. So we got it. And we have a few things to do to finish it out. Like, because when she realized she was getting a new trailer, we need to redo the ceiling. And found out there's a place in Lake Whitney that was featured on the show Fixer Upper. That's the Fixer Upper guys that, you know, in Waco. They got this tin. They either use recycled tin for $7 a square or brand new tin for $10 a square, and they will press a shape into the tin. So we're thinking about putting that up in the roof to finish. And we have the paneling is this stuff that looks like leather. So the whole thing's got a real nice Texas theme going
on. Now, how many horses does it fit?
It's a 3-horse trailer, but typically we use the first stall for our stuff. Like, we have a porta potty in there and then the shower and, you know, the bales of hay and all that kind of thing.
So, whenever you are outfitting your living quarters horse trailer, whether you buy one made all special and pretty by a manufacturer or you're doing a DIY, what is the first, foremost, most important feature about your living quarters? What do you think is the thing that everybody must have in their living quarters?
Oh, there's so many things. Probably a comfortable bed.
Okay. No. Comfortable. So don't skimp on the mattress. Get a good bed.
Right. Get a good bed. And which we don't have right now. Because we're using what we already had.
Okay. So what's the second one?
Probably enough seating that people can come in and sit with you. Like this trailer has a couch and the other one didn't.
So places for friends to sit down and visit and eat barbecue.
Yes.
Okay. That's two. So what's the third most important thing that you must have it? I don't care how broke you are or how hard it is. You've got to have this.
The walkthrough door.
Oh, into the horse area.
Right, because my first trailer didn't have the walk-through door, and even though the two doors were next to each other, because it was driver's side access, mm-hmm. and I just would go out to go into the bathroom and then come back in.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much better. Just
I would not have thought of that, but that's a good point.
And when you have the walk-through door, if you are taking three horses and three people, you can close up the windows. Like my windows all close up, and you can open that walk-through door. And it can be, it's reasonably cool or warm in the back. So you can share heat and air conditioning in the back.
Interesting.
If somebody else needs to camp.
Yeah, you can
there.
Get one of those nifty hangy cots and you can sleep an extra person back there if you need to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. So where does a toilet come? Does that come at the top of your list? Or is that like, you know, most places have bathrooms. Where do you fall?
It's not at the top of my list. I know that it's at the top of a lot of people's lists. But hang on, my dog.
Dogs are welcome on horses in the morning.
Okay. She's sit. Okay. She was like clawing me, trying to get in my lap. All right. I'm ready to go again.
Okay. Where does toilets fall? Are they at the top of your list, in the middle of your list, at the bottom of your list?
For me, I think it's kind of middle to bottom. I mean, I like having a toilet, but I don't care. I mean, I'd rather have a shower before I have a toilet. If I didn't have a toilet, like there's this built-in shower, but I've always made sure I probably ought to put the shower before the walk-through door, honestly, because I've always made sure I had a way to bathe, you know, like be a Zodi bucket shower, which had to be completely redone because the Zodi shower really isn't put together very well.
What's a bucket shower?
Well, Zodi makes a shower where it's called a shower in a bucket, I think is what they call it, but it's red and it's got a burner on it and the water, it's got a pump and you put the pump in the bucket of water and then it circulates through and comes out the hose and it's hot because you screw a propane nozzle onto the burner.
All these crazy camping things that I've never heard of. What an adventure.
But you would
rather have a shower than a toilet?
Yes.
Really? Interesting.
Because almost every place will have a porta potty, but a lot of places don't have showers.
See, I would rather have BO than have to use a porta potty.
Oh, well, and I know people that
maybe that's why nobody wants to hang around with me when I'm camping.
Well, but you know, you can take a shower. I mean, you can, as long as you have water, like what I did most recently for my shower before I got the Sundowner trailer was I got a pump off of Amazon and it was, you plug it into your cigarette lighter in your car. Your power source, they don't call them cigarette lighters anymore, your power source in your car, and it was a submergible pump. And then I bought like a bucket heater, and this only worked if you had electricity, but you know, I took a bucket heater and would submerge that into my bucket to heat the water for about 20 minutes, you know, kind of like what you would use if you lived in a cold climate mm-hmm. in the wintertime. And then I would just stick that pump in there and give myself a shower in the back of the trailer. And if the water, you know, stand in a big, you know, one of those big vortex tubs. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to get my feet dirty because I hate that.
So bathroom is down at the bottom. So if you've got a comfortable bed, a pass through door, so you can walk between the human section and the horse section without going out of doors.
Yes.
What would be the third thing that every human being who has a living quarters trailer must have?
Well, actually, I think I said the second thing was like seating for room
seating.
For guests.
So what would be the fourth thing?
So this is the
third
fourth
was the
thing.
Bathroom door and fourth thing.
Well, then the toilet. I don't know. I mean, really, because I mean, I did it incrementally. And so the first quarter, the first gooseneck I had a place to sleep. It didn't have a walk-through door, but it had lots of storage. And it had a really awesome couch so I could sleep an extra person or people could come and sit. And I guess, you know, if money was no object, an awning would be right up there because it's nice to be able to sit outside.
Yeah, I was just thinking awning would be really, really useful.
Yes.
And I hate awnings, but they're useful.
Yeah. I just have heard so many stories about awnings, you know, getting torn up by the wind, like Ermine's story last month. Her automatic thing didn't work quick enough. And so, I mean, I know one of the big rules of thumb is if you're going out to ride, don't ever leave your awning up because the weather changes so quickly.
Yeah. So. I hate awnings, but I think rather than getting an awning, I would probably get one of those simple to, what do they call them? You see them, everybody has them at the beach.
The sumbrella?
It's not a sumbrella. Four legs. So it's
An easy up.
Yes, an easy up. I think I would get one of those before I would get an awning.
I've had those, and I had one with a net mesh around it to keep the bugs out, and it worked pretty well. The biggest problem was trying to find the place to put it where it's convenient to the front door, where it's going to block the sun, because depending on where the sun is and where your shade is, like you may be in. You know, it's hard to actually make this shade inside.
Oh, man, you're just talking me right out of it now. Come on. Sounds like such a good idea a minute ago.
Well, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's a good idea.
Well, there you go. Those are the new horse trailer stories and what everybody should have on their. I should put a post on Facebook. What would you have to have in your living quarters horse trailer? I want a dish on top so we can get internet access. That's what I want.
Our phones will do that for us. But I was supposed to take. We were supposed to try the new trailer out this weekend and go to the beach. But I decided that sore ribs and sore arm did not leave me with a good, with good going to the beach.
No, just stay home and drink cocoa.
Yeah. And I fractured the radial head at the elbow, and it's not broken. Like they didn't cast it. He gave me a sling, and most of the time it doesn't hurt at all. But then sometimes I'll just move wrong or I'll reach. I wear the sling to remind myself that it's actually hurt.
See, that's why it's there, because you're not supposed to move it, even though it doesn't hurt.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. That's the way it is.
Well, so bad.
There you go. Well, why don't we go ahead and get our first guest on the phone, Shannon Schraffnagel.
Of horse trails and camping across America.
Dun, da, da.
Good morning, Shannon. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. So I've heard that you have several new projects going. First, let's talk about your new magazine project and how this all got started.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So it was kind of crazy how it all came about. I never imagined that I would be starting up a magazine, that's for sure. But back in June, many of our members on HTCA started to mention that they were all getting notices that the Trail Rider magazine was going to be no longer its own magazine, but that they were combining their efforts with Horse and Rider. Which really, once it came out, it was pretty much just including a couple trail riding articles within Horse and Rider. So there definitely was no longer a trail riding magazine out there. So we saw that this was upsetting many of our members, as you know, that was the only trail riding outlet that there was nationally. I was really busy with other things going on at that point. We had the HTCA gathering out in South Dakota. And busy with trying to get our website and things done. So I didn't think a whole lot about it, but I had people messaging me, you know, saying that it was a shame that we were going to lose that outlet. So kind of crazy to say how it came about, and I can't really say it any other way except that I woke up one morning, and as I normally do, I kind of had my prayer time, and I was praying over HTCA and some different stuff, and very quickly, it just all came into view of how we could start up our own magazine, how it could look, who we could connect with, where we could get the content from, who could help me edit, who could help me kind of run things. I got so very excited. I flew to my computer. I put everything down on paper. I quick created the cover photo, kind of a mock cover photo of what I thought it wanted to look like. I called my poor web guy up and totally shocked the pants off of him. He's been working so hard on my website. And I said, hey, we got a whole nother project to work on. So within a week, we pretty much had a plan together. We had a layout of how we wanted it to look. I had a couple different magazines that I've liked for many years, and I was able to kind of tailor a few things from them, even though they're not trail riding related. And yeah, we whipped up our first issue that launched right before July. It was our July issue. And huge reviews. It was very cool. I was just astounded at how people absolutely loved what we came up with, all the content that people want to submit. So yeah, it's been just a crazy, I can't believe we just started this just barely 2 months ago. Yeah.
So crazy. What is the name? I'm going to interrupt for a second. Well, tell us the name.
Yeah, that's fine. It's the Trail Journal.
Okay.
And it's through HTCAA.
Okay. So, what's HTCAA?
That is Horse Trails and Camping Across America.
There we go. I wanted to make sure we got that out there because I'm already on the website and it's gorgeous. So everybody go there while you listen. Go ahead.
Cool. Cool. Cool.
So what type of...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What type of submissions and stuff are you accepting, and how can people get their stories and things out there?
Yeah, what we really wanted, you know, it's great that I have, you know, 50,000 plus members that I can kind of get ideas from. So before I even launched anything, I had the ideas in my head, but I was able to go back to them and just really ask, you know, what have they liked from previous magazines, what they didn't like, what they'd want to see, what they didn't want to see. And for a lot of people, they just really wanted to have diverse content from many different trail riders across the country. You know, whether it's a newbie just learning how to, you know, get out and camp, or if it's people that travel 24/7 in their living quarters, you know, and lucky me, I've got 50,000 different members I can choose from. And everybody's got a story. Everybody's got photos. So we really wanted to make this a member-driven magazine. It's going to be a little bit more difficult on my end to do that because it's not like I can just keep going to the same contributors every month. So we're constantly going to have to work on getting that content. But that's the fun part because it's always something different. It's from different people every time, different photos, different locations. If anybody ever wants to submit any kind of a story or, you know, favorite photo from a trail, obviously we've got some, you know, helpful information that I can email people on that, but they can email us at trailjournal@htcaa.org. They can always find me on Facebook if that's easier. If they go to HTCAA on Facebook, they're going to find me under Shannon HTCAA Schroffnagel. If they type in HTCAA, my name will come up. So they can do that as well, and we'll tell them what kind of what the process is and get their content in the magazine.
Very cool. Are you guys relying on advertising dollars to help do this, or is it donations?
Yes.
Or
No, right now we aren't charging any kind of a subscription since we just started it up and it's online. But advertising is definitely going to be something we're going to have to ramp up just to help keep this going, because I do have so many other people that are helping me along with this as well. But it's a great place to advertise. You know, we've got the largest selection of trail riders in one place. And, you know, I can definitely verify that we have 50,000 active members around the country. You know, any given week, we have up to 12,000 people sitting on Facebook. So it's going to be a great place for businesses to be able to advertise in and catch the attention of all of them.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. I know... you talk about having over 50,000 members, and you touched briefly on your gathering that you guys mm-hmm. had. And just so everybody knows, we actually talked to Shannon last month, and we had an interview that vanished into cyberspace. But just real quickly, so people can hear about that, tell us when that occurs each year and when people can sign up to go, and like the location. Just kind of the
sure.
short and condensed version of that.
Yep, absolutely. So we hold what we call the HTCA gathering yearly. That's held at Broken Arrow Horse Camp out in South Dakota in the Black Hills, right outside of Custer. And they've only got a space for about 120 to 130 people. It books up within 48 hours usually. We will be announcing reservations come December 1st. It's just a fun gathering that even though we put different rides on around the country, that one in particular, people know that they can count on every year. So if they can get in there, you know, that's something that everybody enjoys going to. It's kind of becoming like a family reunion for some of us members. But yeah, it's just fun. You can ride or you can do the tourist stuff. We have, you know, really good local bands that come in, and we have chuck wagon meals, and it's just definitely has that family reunion feel, which is really fun. And that's every year in June, I should say, usually the first or second week.
Well, I know after I talked to you last month, I went in the house because I'm out in my office, and I, oh, Mike, I got to put this on the calendar because December the 1st is when she opens it and we are going next year. Yes, and he was like, yeah. Hot dog. So he said, cool. That's what he's always wanted to do, something like that. So
absolutely.
And before then, maybe we'll have a chance to talk about how to pack for a long trip like that, since that was also lost. We'll call the lost,
yes,
lost interviews.
Yes, absolutely, for sure. So absolutely. And we always do, I do like to mention that we do have different rides going on throughout the country all year. It just depends on how much time I have to plan them, but we do have another ride coming up in Ohio. That's going to be in the end of October. And then we also have our 9/11 National Ride, which anybody can participate, because you can even do that in your backyard. As long as you wear some red, white, and blue and post it back on HTCAA. And we just do that kind of in recognition of everybody that keeps our country safe on a daily basis.
So tell us about the 9/11 ride. And yeah, I know you said take pictures, wear red, white, and blue, but
yep.
Elaborate a little bit.
Absolutely. So yeah, we just kind of started it as a fun thing 4 years ago, but it's just a fun way to get all of our members to participate, because obviously, you know, even if we have a ride in Ohio or South Dakota, not everybody can make it. But the 9/11 ride, we just encourage everybody to get out if they can get out on the trail with a horse. Again, you can be by yourself, you know, if you can't plan a ride with somebody. Or we've got people that plan big events. We've got campgrounds that put on 9/11 rides. And just, it's just a way to encourage the members to come together. A fun way to kind of decorate your horse in red, white, and blue. We do sell ride shirts for that as well that help fund HTCAA. And we encourage everybody to take photos over that weekend and then post it back on HTCAA so we can kind of flood the whole page with red, white, and blue. And again, we do it in honor of all the, you know, first responders and police and National Guard and everybody that keeps the country safe so we can keep on enjoying our trails.
Well, tell me about how we can get a t-shirt.
Sure.
I love t-shirts.
So good.
I have like a huge drawer full of t-shirts, and my husband's like, bring out more t-shirts. And,
yeah.
And yes.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? So I do too. They're just all HTCA shirts. So, but yeah, we have, the easiest way to get to them is if they go on to, HTCAA on Facebook, and then you go under the events. You'll find our 9/11 ride there, and there is a link to the t-shirts. That is through Booster Campaign, and I think the link is custominc.com/fundraising/HTCAA-911-2017. Kind of a long link, so again, if you just go to Facebook and find HTCAA, you'll find it under the events there.
All right. That sounds fantastic. And I'm looking forward to really digging into the magazine, and I'm hoping that in the future, NATRC and the Trail Journal can partner up and do some cool stuff.
Absolutely. That would be awesome.
Well, dang, that's pretty cool of Shannon to be starting a brand new magazine and a cool adventure. And she's a really sharp gal, so I'm excited about it. I think it's time that we take a little song break right now, and we're going to listen to a song, A Girl and Her Horse, by one of your favorite groups, Carbon Leaf. And then we'll be right back with Erin Glass.
You lean forward to go, you pull back to go slow. These are the horse basics you should know. There's no use to wait. A girl and her horse will never separate. You were done before the gun at the starting gate. Great unknown.
the best left between a girl and a horse. With no words to say, a girl and a horse can't communicate, 'cause motion is motion and nothing's up for debate.
Good morning, Aaron. Welcome to Horses in the Morning. It is so awesome to have you on the show today. How are you feeling today? I know you just finished Tevis. I wondered if you were sore at all.
My soreness is actually on the improvement side today. So yesterday was probably the worst day, and now I'm starting to go on the upswing. So feeling pretty good.
So, I mean, as distance riders, we know what Tevis is, but just fill other people in on what is Tevis? So, because I say that to people, oh, this weekend's Tevis, and they look at me with a blank stare. So just give a brief
Tevis,
go ahead.
Overview. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Well, Tevis is a 100-mile ride through the Sierra Nevada. It's on a historical mining trail that was used by the gold miners back in the 1800s gold rushes. It's over very difficult terrain, lots of mountains. There's some pretty intense canyons. We have 24 hours to complete the distance. On horseback, and you are allowed to get down and run alongside your horses if you feel you're up to the challenge, and it does help the horse out if you can do that.
So I guess my first question is, did you run beside Rio?
I actually ran in front of her down a couple of the canyons. I ran down the full first canyon. There's three canyons that we tackle during the ride. So I ran down the first full canyon, and then I ran down most of the second canyon. And then I went ahead and got on and rode the rest of the way.
So, well, people who've listened to the show over the years will know that I'm obsessed with post-ride soreness, and I'm always looking for ways not to be sore, because it seems like I can't even compete in a open NATRC ride where I don't end up just and I ride a lot. I mean, not as much as you, clearly, but so I'm curious what your fitness program was leading up to the Tevis, and you know, what you feel like you've done to make yourself fit enough to ride 100 miles.
Okay. Well, overall, I do ride quite a bit, so that helps. I kind of likened my soreness afterwards to the soreness that I had after my first 50-mile ride, which was several years ago. The horse finished fine, was a little bit tired, I was lame for about 3 days, however. So overall, you know, I feel pretty good. Pre-ride for my own fitness, I've been doing some running. I try to do, like, overall just eat healthy. I try to eat really a lot of non-processed foods, like low sugar, that kind of thing, just because it does, I think, personally, it does tend to impact my overall soreness after working out and that kind of thing in general. And I figured that, you know, since this is a giant workout, that would have some impact afterwards. I did, for the past month and a half or so, I didn't have any alcohol.
Wine?
Yeah, I know, right? So I tried to abstain just because I figured, well, if I'm putting her through something difficult, I should do something difficult as well. So
kind of like July, Lent in July or August. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then overall afterwards, I did try to get up and move around quite a bit on Sunday when I was between napping. There's not much room to be lazy when you're walking around to get your horse taken care of in Auburn, just because there's so much of a walk from where the campground area is down to where the stall barn is and that kind of stuff. So there's a pretty significant hill, right. That kind of thing. So afterwards, I kind of made sure I was moving around, but then I get stuck in a truck for a couple of days. So that didn't really help.
So, like, taking care of your horse after, do you get her out of her stall and walk her around too, so that she also gets the benefit of walking around for post-ride soreness?
Yes, I sure did. I made sure to go over every hour and a half or so just to walk her around, let her stretch her legs. She had a nice big stall, which was good. That way she could move around and not just be tied in one spot. I also went over there to check on her post-ride and had some of my crew go check on her post-ride just to make sure she was doing okay, you know, eating, drinking, peeing, pooping, the stuff that we look for during the ride to make sure that her overall health was sure. looking good. So, yeah, well, she acted like she hadn't even done anything.
Wow. So she probably felt better than you did.
Probably, yeah.
So your horse was named Rio. Tell us a little bit about Rio.
Well, Rio's 13. I've had her about 5 years. I met her for the first time about 9 years ago. She was a mare that my friends Steve and Priscilla Lindsay had bred. And the first time I met her, I looked in her eye. I fell in love with her. They weren't selling her at the time. And so I told Steve that if he ever decided to sell her, this was a baby out of his mare, his personal mare, I wanted her. So about, I guess 3 or 4 years later, he decided he was going to sell her. And here we are. So we've done quite a bit of Natrac rides. She's done, I think, 450s within the last 6 to 8 months in preparation for coming out to California. We do a lot of riding. She's been through several Clinton Anderson clinics with me. We've done some training work and just overall education on horsemanship together. And she's just been a wonderful partner. She's the mare that brought me back from an injury confidence wise. We worked through that together. I had an injury. I was physically healed, but psychologically, it took me quite a while to regain the confidence that I had had pre-accident. And she was the mare that helped me with that.
That's hard when you have an accident. You know, your body will stop hurting, but it's almost, I mean, you don't want to liken it to what soldiers go through by any means, but it's the same process of PTSD, especially if you couldn't ride right away, because
absolutely
you have time to play that over and over in your head. So
yeah, I had a couple months on the couch watching training videos where I replayed it constantly and, you know, rehashed all of where I had made my mistake on a young horse. She was not the reason I had the accident, but she she was my more therapeutic horse, as you could probably say.
So she's your hard horse for sure. You guys sound like you have a really wonderful relationship.
She's a great.
What made you want to ride Tevis in the first place? I'm asking because, like, I posted this on Facebook the other day that for 24 hours every year, I think, you know, I think I might like to do Tevis. And by the time Tevis is over, I think, what the heck? What am I thinking about? But then this year, it's kind of hung on a little bit. And so I'm starting to collect stories from people who wanted to do Tevis and why.
Jackie was the person who's really got me into distance riding. And so she had attempted twice and finished on her second attempt. And when she did that, just her description of the trail and everything, I just thought that it would be something that I was very interested in doing. I was rapidly becoming addicted to distance riding at the time, and I made it a goal of my own. Also, after reading Julie Sir's book, 10 Feet Tall Still, that was a huge inspiration. I signed up to do it in 2012, but my gelding had some lameness issues, so I ended up not riding it, but came out and crewed for some people and had a majorly educational trip and learned a lot. And it, watching the awards ceremony afterwards, I just knew I had to come back. And here we are.
So what was the hardest part of the ride?
I thought the hardest part of the ride was right after Forest Hill in the California Loop, just because it is a little bit intimidating. You know that I have not personally seen the loop in the light, but you know that it's sheer drop off. You can't see anything, you know, not much. There's a lot of, fortunately we had a full moon out. We did have quite a bit of moonlight, but there's a lot of areas in the woods that you really can't see anything except for what the glow sticks light up on the trail. Some people do ride with a headlamp, but most of the time people don't. Horses see well enough, and you really just have to trust your horse to go down the trail. I followed somebody for a while just to kind of build my confidence on that area. And she and I ended up coming in right about the same time at the very end. She was last place and I was just above her after we parted ways a little bit down the trail. But once I kind of got that Rio was going to handle it fine, and we moved past, I believe it was at Francisco's vet check, we went ahead and just rode out on our own and just kind of hopped around as needed within the riding groups that were coming in about the same time. And so she was out on the trail by herself, going down the trail, in the dark, and she did a fantastic job. So,
so then what was the easiest part or the most fun part or, you know, if not,
most fun, I don't know that I could quantify that there was a most fun part because I thought it was all fantastic. I enjoyed the heck out of it. It was amazing. I think I had my normal, cheesy grin on my face the whole time. It just, the thought that I was finally there and doing it was just completely enjoyable. The scenery was amazing. I love Pucker Point. If I had realized I was on it at the time, I had gotten to it, I probably would have stopped to take a picture just because it was really, it just seemed so immense at that point. Just the scenery and the scale of the mountains. I can't really say that I have like a favorite spot or part.
Okay. So what did you eat and drink to keep yourself going?
Okay. I did pick up some of those, shot cubes, I can't remember but I think Cliff Bar makes them, and then some other little various electrolyte chews. I also usually take like some beef jerky along the way for protein, and it has a little bit of salt to it. And this kind of, I think I had some dried banana chips because I've been on a kick of those lately. And then on the vet checks, we have 2 1-hour mandatory holds. Those are at Robinson Flat and at Forest Hill. And so I had my crew bring in like some rotisserie chicken just to get some protein. I had some chips and salsa kind of thing. I had some watermelon. And
watermelon's good for muscle soreness. So watermelon is especially good for muscle soreness because it's a precursor of L-arginine. So it has, I heard a podcast about this and there's a guy that's made a supplement that has watermelon and apples and something else, but it's supposed to help with distance athletes, muscle soreness.
Oh, okay. That's so cool.
But that's why people crave watermelons. It's got this L-tyrosine maybe. I have to go look that up again. But it was pretty interesting. So yeah, watermelon's an awesome thing to eat.
Yeah, cool. It tasted great too. So
You said you had the cruise. I figured you'd get hungry. I mean, if you're trotting trotting most of it. I mean, that's like jogging 100 miles, which I know people do, but not me.
Yeah. I kept up on it pretty well. I felt pretty good throughout. I really, energy wise, I felt pretty awesome, like the whole time. I was a little bit on the tired side, like right at the very end. And I was like, oh, okay, let's just go 4 more miles. Come on. At the very end. And I was getting a little bit drowsy. But once I got back into the stadium, I was fine.
Wait, did you go over Cougar Rock or did you take the bypass?
Yes, I went over. I did go over.
We can find photos.
You'll be able to find photos here coming up. So I'll probably post some stuff later tonight or tomorrow, depending on like when I get some time to sit and reflect. And it's a lot to process. I don't know that I've spent much time processing, just trying to make the trip, and it's overwhelmingly emotional, just in the fact that my mare did this for me. You know, I asked her to do it and she did it, and she did it well. And I had no idea if she would make it. I had no idea if we were prepared. This is my very first 100 mile ride, and hers as well. And I've not had the experience of bringing up a horse to that. So I prepared as much as I could. And, it was all just the speculation as to whether or not we could make it. And she did it. So pretty amazing.
Okay. I just have to interject.
Yes.
Our guest just said, this is my first 100 miler.
Yes.
And she did Tevis.
Yes.
Like the toughest race in the entire country was your first one. Okay, we're going to have to say it again. Yep. Everybody, cover your children's ears. Yes. You're a badass.
Yes, right. She is.
It's true. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Erin, do you have a Facebook page where your newfound fans, thanks to this interview, can follow along with your adventures?
I don't have a... I guess I take that back. I do own a few Arabians. Prairie Sylvania Arabians is where we host what we have for sale. And so what I'll probably do is do a little bit of a blog or like a retrospective on the ride itself and then preparation. I've told we've got a local Arabian horse club that I'm involved with that I told them I would do a write-up of my experience and how to get started and that kind of thing for the Eastern Kansas Arabian Horse Association. And so I'll probably use the Prairie Sylvania Arabians as the host place for the actual writings and then just forward them on to the various Facebook pages that are interested. So,
and you should submit this to Shannon Schroffnagel for the Trail Journal. For her to put in her trail journal. She was just on, and this would be awesome material for her trail journal that she started. She started an online magazine.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah, I'd love to do that. If you don't mind, Alice, after the show, would you send me that information? And
absolutely.
I will sure try to get a hold of her. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, because I was just thinking you need to come down here and give us a Tevis wannabe interview. I know that a lady I met recently named Hope Finan, and I didn't see if she finished, if she finished or not, but I know she attempted. It seems like she had to pull.
Did, Yeah, she didn't have to pull. She got, I think, a little behind time. Actually camped next to me up at the campground, her and Carrie Lowry from Louisiana. Okay. So, and Hope is super nice. Yeah, very,
yeah,
very
she helped
out.
Me with and, my trails with the NATRAC, NATA RC ride I put on. So,
awesome. Yeah, she's very she's, cool. Yeah,
she's awesome. So
yeah,
maybe
she's
next
also
year.
A fellow coffee fiend. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so
I didn't realize
fiend.
You were so, coffee fiend. Yeah. We'll have to camp next to yes. each other someday when I try this.
Oh, absolutely.
Someday.
Completely
someday.
Totally addicted. Yes, someday, dear.
Someday. So. What is it? Somebody told me that I should probably try to do an endurance ride first. I said,
yes.
Well,
I
yeah, probably.
It. Yeah, I would recommend a few, actually.
So. Oh, I was like, yeah, I've got a plan. It's my long-range
awesome.
Goal.
There we go. Well, thank awesome. You again, Erin, for stopping by. And we look forward to hearing about your further adventures.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been nice talking to you, ladies.
Thanks, Erin.
Well, that was a lot of fun. And guess who's here? Kristen from the Distance Depot.
Good morning, Kristen. Welcome to Horses in the Morning. I hear you have some colorful fall clothing for us.
Yeah, we do. We have the new fall line. Most of it is starting to arrive. So some great fall colors and fall tights that will work for three seasons, basically fall, winter, and spring. So with nice big pockets for your phone, because we know everybody needs to have their phone with them for safety. And so, yeah, we have the Carrot Sit Tight and Warm Pocket Wind Pro. Which has knee patches and, like I say, the a nice fleece lining on the inside for good for fall weather to keep you warm and dry.
So how big, I mean, is the pocket big enough for like an iPhone 7 Plus or is it?
I know. I think for the bigger phones, like I think I have a Samsung 6 or a 6S or something.
Yeah, so, I had one of those.
Good size, but probably not that big.
Okay.
But on your thigh, you know, and they hold anchor them pretty well.
Yes.
I think for something that big, I don't know what you'd have to get. I know we have a few brands of tights that do have pockets probably that big. But these are a little smaller, I would say. You might be able to squeeze it in there.
Probably not me. Maybe somebody else.
Yeah. Well, we have a weatherproof barn jacket, which you could put it in while you're.
Oh, riding. There you go.
So they have great big pockets, so you don't have to have it on your tight. But those are really cool and lightweight enough that you don't feel like you're the abominable snowman, but still weatherproof. So those are really nice.
How warm are these jackets? Because I live in Texas, so I'm always thinking, well, it'd be awesome to have a really warm jacket. But I mean, is it like would it be winter here, or would it be more? You know, it's like what temperatures would I want to wear the jacket?
That's a good question. I know the weatherproof barn jacket is not super insulated. It has a Hydratec fabric that is sealed for wind and water protection, but it's not super warm. Like it's a barn jacket, so I'm not thinking they want you, super Arctic Canada all year, but probably pretty good doing chores around the barn, especially in Texas and probably in Missouri. I mean, we get cold, but we're not, that cold for too long. So I would think, probably 30, winter cold weather, but not.
That's
crazy.
Funny. I remember freezing to death in Missouri.
Oh, really? Well, it can get really windy and cold too. Don't get me wrong.
They were waiting for the bus when it was like 20 below zero wind chill.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Too cold. Sorry.
That's all right.
All right. So the color. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So the colors that they come in: barn red, and we have an ebony, which is kind of a. We're trying to decide what that color is exactly because you think ebony would be black, but it is like a bluish gray color. It's kind of, it's a really pretty color, but more so on the gray tone, I think, than black is their fall color. They're calling ebony. So I love it when these apparel companies mix me up. I'm not hard to confuse.
Well, because ebony is supposed to be like I always think of keys on a keyboard being ebony. The black keys are ebony.
Yeah. So the season colors we've brought in are barn red, ebony, and black. Now the ebony again is it's almost like a purpley gray blue color. I don't know. It's very pretty.
But it's not eggplant. It's not eggplant. Yeah. So it's blue. No. I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Anyway, we have some headbands and we have some winter hats by Carrots too with great horseshoe designs. Their fashion is always really fun, keeping it very horsey. And some nice winter socks with wool to keep your feet warm too. So all kinds of great apparel.
I have never worn wool socks. What is their advantage?
I think, besides warmth, they're soft. And these say that they're naturally antimicrobial, which is also very nice. They are machine washable, so easy to care for. It's a knee-high length, lightweight and breathable. So I think keeping you warm and still being, you know, able to fit in your paddock boots and breathe well so that you don't sweat, because then, of course, your feet will be freezing.
Wool socks are the best.
Are they?
Oh,
I wear polar fleece. I have like polar fleece socks I wear sometimes. I mean, my high-tech winter gear are polar fleece pajama pants and polar fleece socks. But because you don't really stay dry, but you don't ever really get wet either. And this sounds way better. Way better than polar fleece pajama bottoms. And a lot more attractive in the photographs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and of course with the cute horseshoe designs, they always do really cute fashion in their stuff. So fun designs for fall and winter, for sure.
Well, and it's not too early to start shopping, because I mean, I know it's, you know, August 17th today,
right,
which is only a month from fall starting, and you know, it takes a while to get stuff, and and before you know it, Mother Nature will wave her magic wand and we'll all be freezing.
It has gone by already so fast this year. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm thinking, wow, we're already this far into August. Wow. So it'll be here. It'll be here soon. Not that I'm wishing snow and cold weather on everyone yet, but it will be here.
Here is something I'm curious if you guys sell, and if you don't, just let me know. But you know, I've been seeing those protector airbag vest things that people wear. Do you guys sell those?
We actually do. We have a Helite air vest. You mean the ones that you hook in while you're riding?
Yes.
And then if you were to come off, then it implodes. Yes, we do have those. Yep. And interestingly enough, and we also have some Tipperary vests for safety as well. But yeah, we do have those. We don't have the HIT air vest, but it's very similar along that same line.
So are they starting to be more popular? I know Aventures typically...
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have a lot of riders who are saying, you know, we don't bounce anymore. And, you know, yes, these vests are expensive because of the air cartridges and so on. But it sure beats the you know, hospital bill.
Sure.
We've had riders say, you know, I separated a shoulder or broke ribs and a tailbone. And, you know, that becomes crazy expensive. So well worth paying for one, which is probably cheaper than most people's deductible.
So what do they run? What do they cost?
That is a good question. I think, and I mean, I have them actually. So we have two styles of this imploding one. It's a Helite. We have a canvas mesh style, which run about $520, and then the soft shell, more like the HIT air vest. Those are $575.
Okay.
So again, a lot cheaper than your most.
Oh yeah. So and then if you have to recharge the cartridge because you forgot to unhitch it from the saddle when you dismounted, or dismounted forcibly, what do the cartridges cost to recharge?
The cartridges are an additional $25 each.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not too bad. Except we had one lady who said her daughter had a sleepover, and they all, the evening, blowing themselves up and went through a case of cartridges.
Oh!
So so don't let the children play with
it.
Don't
let the kids play with the cartridges.
Yeah,
man, that sounds like so much fun. I can understand why they would do that.
So upset, understandably.
Yes.
Yes.
So how many is in a case? Like, what, 10, 12, 20?
I think so, yes.
Oh, wow.
Pretty costly.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
They do offer great neck support and support not only down the ribs, but, you know, down close to the tailbone area, too, because a lot of times when we come off, we end up, you know, coming backwards. So that, you know.
Or not me. Up. It's always sideways. Always.
Well, always.
Always.
Never good. No matter how it is.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, talking about stuff. And it's always a pleasure.
Every time we talk to Kristen from The Distance Depot, and whenever you go to the website, folks, make sure you type in The Distance Depot to get to the right place. I want to go shopping.
Oh, me too. And I especially want one of those vests. And I want them to invent one of those vests for my arm.
There we go. I think they should do that. I love, my favorite thing about Distance Depot is they can make just about anything. I had a custom halter made for Nigel because he has a funky shaped head. And I wanted a biothane halter because it's soft and pliable and good looking like leather, but it will never mold or rot.
Right.
I hate nylon halters because they get dry rotted. And, you know, after a year and a month, they're disgusting. And they don't come with brass fittings, so they get rusty. So I hate nylon halters. And I had her made one of those, and it's just custom fitted for Nigel's face, and I love it. All I had to do was send her a whole bunch of measurements. And she made me two sets of reins, not just one. And I love
them. That's awesome.
They are awesome. They're super soft. So love it when she stops by to visit. But we need to get to the NATRC ride calendar because it's hot and heavy competition season.
Okay. Well, coming up for, let's see, we're in August now. Between now and next month, I got to scroll through the calendar and see what hasn't been done yet because some places are taking a break. But we are not taking a break here because we're taking a break here in Texas because it's hot. But other places are having a great time riding. All right. So the very next ride that I see coming up is there is a ride in called Music Meadows in Colorado. It's August 19th and 20th.
Ooh, pretty.
And there's also, oh yeah. And I had planned Lynn Ward, who was on in the spring, she and her husband are putting on that ride and we had planned to go, but it's not going to work.
No,
no riding for
next
me.
Year.
Yeah. And then there's also a ride in California that same weekend at the Jackson Forest.
Oh, I bet you that's gorgeous. Yeah.
I'll bet it is too. And California peeps really need to get out there and support their NATRC rides because their numbers have been kind of small lately. And we really want to see them pick back up and have more people come to ride just because it would be, you know, it's fun and they should go.
That's right.
So, and then there's in September, there's a couple more rides in Region 3, which is Colorado and New Mexico. And there's one in Nebraska. There's two in Nebraska between now and the end of September. So the weather is actually reported to being pretty good there this time of year.
There you go.
Which is kind of funny. I know the first year they did that competition in Nebraska it's called Pony Express and it follows the old Pony Express trail. They were shocked how cool it was. It was like in the 60s and raining in August.
Wow.
So, and that one's the last weekend of August. There so everybody should get out there and go to it and go ride.
So where can folks go to find the calendar?
The calendar in its entirety is at natrc.org.
And if you're curious about what the NATRC does and how they do it, you can go there. It is one of those websites that it's not real fancy and it doesn't have a lot of splash, but it is chock full of really good information. And it's really pretty easy to find. It's easy to navigate. So I recommend it if you're curious about trail riding and the NATRC and getting out there and having a good time on the trails with your horse.
Yes, sir. Yes, that is true.
And that about... Go ahead.
We have a really good time together and you'll have so many new best friends. You won't know what to do with them all.
And that about wraps it up for today. You can find links to today's guests and our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can follow us on Facebook. If you're not doing so already, you should. Our Facebook page is Horses in the Morning. Or if you're one of those people who lives your life 150 characters at a time, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is Horse Radio. And don't ever miss an episode by downloading the free Horse Radio Network app for your iPhone or Android. Just go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. It's free and easy to use. Or if you're old school, you can listen via iTunes. And we are on pretty near every podcast player app in the world. So just use your favorite app, search for Horse Radio Network. And thanks again to the folks who brought us this show. That would be the NATRC and The Distance Depot and Alice Perryman, who will be back again next month on the third Thursday.
Yes, ma'am. I will be here. We'll see everybody later, or hear everybody later. However that works.